Cool. The elders made me speak today, so I didn't have a choice. So, no, not really. Thanks, though. Yeah, I'm 31 years old, which is great. Yeah, it's really cool. All right, cool. Everyone all right? Yeah, okay. All right, I'm going to speak a little bit about vision, then I'm going to speak a little bit about reading the Bible. That's my plan. So, cool, got a bit of time. So, all right, yeah. So, Father God, thank you that you give us vision. And I know, Gina, you just prayed, but my prayers may be a bit better. So, ooh, no, it's being silly. But yeah, Father, help. Amen. Okay, so Proverbs 29:18 is really what I'm going to be looking at for the majority of this. Really well-known proverb, and it says, where there is no vision, the people perish. That's the King James Version. Or, where there is no revelation, people cast off restraint. That's the NIV. And actually, it's pretty similar to the New King James Version as well. So, in the last, I would say, month, God has really been speaking to me about vision, about what that means, and vision for my own life. And it's really grabbed hold of my heart, so it seems very natural just to share about that a little bit today and hopefully encourage you. So, yeah, so what I feel to share today, to be able to walk in the fullness of what God has for us, in our calling and in our God-given destiny, we need to know who we are and we need to know what our purpose is. I think everybody would agree with that. And another way of kind of saying that would be, what is your life vision? Why are you here? What are you doing? What are you trying to achieve? Where are you trying to go? Why are you trying to go there? All these things. We need to know God's vision for our life in clarity and understanding. If we just look back at this verse, where there is no vision, the people perish. So if you have no vision, it means you perish, which isn't a good thing. The word vision there, we could replace with insight. So if there's no insight, if there's no understanding, if there's no revelation, then you perish. So basically, without vision, we don't really know where we're going, and we don't really know where we're trying to get to. Therefore, we can spend a lot of time wandering about aimlessly, because we don't know where we're trying to go. It doesn't mean in that time we might not do good things, we might not achieve things. It just means that we'll spend a lot of time wandering around. The thing is that God has a plan for our life. And if we break down what life is, I think we'd all agree that life is certainly time. It's a major factor. Money, resource, relationship. The list will go on and on. But so if you break that down, God has a plan for your money. God has a plan for your time. God has a plan for your relationships. God has a plan for your resources. God has a plan for your life. For us to know what that plan is, we need to receive revelation. We need to have a vision in every area of life. Agreed? Seems pretty straightforward. Cool. So Scripture says, where there's no vision, the people perish, or people cast off restraint. Casting off restraint means you're not restrained. So another word for that would be, you're not disciplined, or you're not focused. You're not, tunnel vision. You're not trying to move towards that one thing. It's like, there is no restraint. So you could go this way or that way, or whichever way you please, really. People cast it off because they don't have a vision. Yeah, so if you cast off restraint, you kind of wander around. And if you wander around, you could easily waste time. And if you waste time, you could be wasting life, because time equals life, doesn't it? So if you're wasting, if you have 168 hours in a week, if you waste a lot of those hours, how we spend our time is how we spend our life. So you could just be wasting your life to a degree, if you look at it from that perspective. Time is life. To squander time is to squander your destiny. How did I bring destiny into that? Well, if we have a vision, for instance, I don't know. Let's say I wanted to be an Olympic athlete, and I felt that I had this call. I wanted to be, my destiny was to be an Olympic athlete, a sprinter, Usain Bolt. If I wasted my time and I couldn't be bothered to train, I didn't eat right, I wasn't disciplined and focused into achieving that, every day or every moment that I'm not working towards that goal and time's going by, that's my destiny slipping away. It doesn't just happen. Usain Bolt didn't just happen. It was hard work, discipline, focus that enabled him to be who he is. Yeah? Yeah. Cool. Okay. So time is life. To squander time is to squander destiny. If you don't learn how to manage time effectively, you may never walk into your full destiny in God. It doesn't just happen to you. Okay, cool. This is an issue of character. It's an issue of skill. And it's something that is developed through practice. Just like, I don't know, learning an instrument. I'm sure Matt would tell you that he hasn't just improved his skill on the guitar by accident. It's been an issue of having a good character, being able to be teachable. It's been through hard work and practice and time and putting resource into it, isn't it? That's how it happens. So if we look at this same scripture kind of backwards, the person who has vision will be restrained, they will be focused, and they will be disciplined. So that's what it looks like on the other way around. So just to say, so this is something that God's been challenging me, and is naturally, this is an area where there's a lot of room for development, and there's a lot of room for growth. And I just felt like God wants to give us vision. He wants to give us understanding and clarity in all areas of our life. He doesn't want us to wander around, you know, not knowing who we are and not knowing what we're doing. He wants us to prosper and grow. I mean, a bit what Keith shared this morning, you know, we have a purposeful God. We have a creator God. He wants us to create. He wants us to prosper. He wants us to work. He wants us to achieve and succeed. He also wants us to rest, but I'll get to that. Okay. As I was thinking about vision, I just thought a little bit as well. I kept thinking about Gideon. I don't know if this really fits, but it just spoke to me and about how Gideon was kind of like the youngest. I think he was the youngest member of the lowest tribe. It's in Judges, I think. Did I write it down? Judges 6, yeah. And then, like, he has a message, doesn't he, from God. It says, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." And it's almost like sometimes I feel like Sometimes we need to hear what God is saying to us. We need to know, like, imagine, like, I know there was that whole story and Gideon had to learn to trust God and kind of tested God and everything. But the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. What did that do to Gideon? How did that change his heart? How did that cause him to focus? All of a sudden, he went from being a nobody and nothing to a mighty warrior. And he went from being a mighty warrior in here. That's where it impacted him. And then he was able to walk that out. The other one I think of, and we hear it so many times, but David was called a man after my own heart. Now imagine what that meant to David, to be called a man after God's own heart. I mean, that would have encouraged him. That would have empowered him, wouldn't it? That would have given him that raw kind of passion and ingredient to keep pursuing, to keep, he wanted to be a man after God's own heart. So yeah, I don't know, that helped me. Just to give a personal example of this, like, House of Prayer is something that we've been doing since August last year, and God gave me a vision for House of Prayer. It's not originally my idea or anything like that, but he gave me a personal assignment. I know he did Gina as well. He gave it to us together, but he spoke to me through a prophet. He spoke to me in my own time, and he really laid it on my heart to be involved in a house of prayer. So we were involved together in Norway, and we've been involved in Taunton. And it's interesting, because if I hadn't had that vision, if I hadn't had God's heart in it, we probably would have given up many times, because we're not doing it. It's not like thousands of people are coming, and it's not like all these amazing things are happening all the time. It's been hard work. It's been hard graft. We're trying to pioneer something, a new culture, something that, you know, we haven't really seen, certainly in this church. I know there's been one in Taunton. But because we have the vision, because we have the heart, we know where we want to go. Because we know where we're going, we're able to bring a focus and a discipline, which means that we give our time and our resources and our energy, and we keep coming week after week because we know that God is going to make it grow. It's on God's heart, you know? So, yeah. The reality is, what I'm trying to say is that without the vision for the house of prayer, it wouldn't happen. If it was just an idea or a thought or, I don't know, just an intention, it wouldn't happen. We need that vision. All of us involved in House of Prayer, we need that vision of why are we doing this? Who are we doing it for? Who are we in this? Vision is the mechanism that grabs the heart so we don't live unrestrained. If you want to be committed and disciplined, if you want a people that are committed and disciplined, they must have a vision. Jesus had a vision, didn't he? It was a joy set before him that he even endured the cross. We were that vision, that we may have a relationship with him. That was Jesus' vision. We were his vision. We were in his heart. We were the joy, that we may live in full relationship. We may have full access to God, you know? So vision is the mechanism that grabs the heart, and this particularly relates to how we spend our time. Another example of this, when I went to the School of Ministry, where I was 24 at the time. It's my first school I was there, so I was a student. We had someone called Mark Verkler. You might have heard of him. He's the guy who really pioneered what we know as hearing the voice of God and like the four steps that Chris was talking about. And he talks about this in a really detailed way. And I'd never even heard of journaling, never considered it, didn't know what it was when I arrived. But then he gave us this vision that through hearing the voice of God, your life could be turned around, that this could be a tool and a resource that will serve you for the rest of your life, that you won't have to depend on, I don't know, someone else giving you a word. Not that that's wrong, that's great, God uses that way, but it could be something that, you know, you could really own and walk in. And he gave us this amazing vision, and he taught on it for 4 days. And we were encouraged for the rest of those 5 months to journal. You know, we would have assignments and we journal all the time. So what happened? I suddenly had this vision that this could be something, a tool where I communicate with God and I really hear his heart. And I was able to develop that skill. I was able to develop, you know, my character and that gifting. And so that was just an example. Another one was the prophetic. We were encouraged to prophesy over 3 people every day. You know, but the idea was, the vision was, that you would learn how to hear God. You would learn to recognize his voice and his thoughts. And you would develop your skill in how to give a prophetic word. And how to, because, you know, the heart of the prophetic, isn't it, is to reveal the Father. You know, and it's not just about the words you say. A lot of it is about how you say it. So, yeah, okay, I'll move on. Too many of God's people are spiritual couch potatoes. Bit of a... Too many of us are. When I look around, when I walk around, a lot of my friends, too many of us are spiritual couch potatoes. Too many of us lack vision. Too many of us lack passion. Too many of us lack discipline. It's my birthday, don't be mad at me. A good question to ask yourself is, what are you willing to die for? What life visions do you have? And if you're willing to die for it, then why not live for it? You know? What is your big picture? One day, we're all going to stand in front of God and we're going to give an account of how we lived. We're going to give an account of our lives. We're going to give an account of how we spent our time and how we spent our resources. All of us are going to do that. And it's just, and again, this isn't to condemn anybody, really. It's just, I'm just trying to encourage people. In the last 3 weeks, I have radically changed my approach. So I'm only 3 weeks in. I'm not walking in this. I've radically changed my approach to the way I manage my time. As I said, we all have 168 hours in a week, and I found it really helpful just to break that down. How much of this time do I spend investing into my walk with God? How much of this time do I spend investing into my life vision? How much of this time do I spend investing into my destiny? It's a good question. A lot of us think we spend a lot of time doing this. That's the interesting thing. When you speak to people, they will tell you, you know, do you value God? Yeah, of course. You know, and everything. I love God and I love spending time with God. But if you break it down, our perception of what we do is very different to the reality and what we walk out. And it is for most of us. Not everybody, but for most. So it's a really good little exercise to do, to write down everything you value and write down what you spend your time doing and seeing how they match up. Because quite often they don't. So I'm going to kind of transition into, so I'm just talking about vision, how important vision is, and I'm going to kind of transition into spending time with God, especially the Word of God. I know that we've had a lot of teaching on this, but I can only teach what I feel God's given me to teach, and this is what he's kind of talking to me about, and it's already 5 to 12, which is great. Okay, I'll be quick. So, spending time with God, reading his word, and developing a relationship with him. This has been a challenge for me always. I've often asked God, why don't people read and love your word? Why are we not walking in power? Why are we lacking passion? Why aren't we seeing the things that we all long to see? You know, why aren't we free and expressive in our relationship with you? Why aren't we full of that joy? And I'm not saying we're all not. I'm just, you know, sometimes I'm just like, why isn't there the more that we all read and see in Scripture? And I think one of the simple answers is that we need to be in his word. Most Christians I've met or know, and when I say most, it's just the majority. So there's a, you know, 51% of the people, the majority, probably don't study the Bible in a focused way. Probably don't. They may read the Bible from time to time. They may flick it open, read it and find it, but they don't study it in a focused way. They don't have a vision for what God is trying to say to them and do through them in the Word of God. We need to be in his word. When I started working for church in January 2014, up until that point, I had always had a vision laid out before me. Mum and Dad, when I was born, it was up to them. They gave me a vision, they governed my time. Then I went to school. School governs your time. You go in, it's all set out. Then you might move on to college or whatever. It's the same thing. You walk into an environment that's set out and laid before you. You've got to turn up. You've got to be disciplined. You know, you've got work. You step into it. Then work, for me, City Plumbing, had to be there at 7:30. Left at 5:00. Why did I do that? I don't know. But I managed it for 7 years. Well, I knew that if I got there on time, that was it. Everything's set out before me. That's, you know. What happened to me when I started working for church, do you think? No structure. I had no one telling me how to govern my time. Now, don't get me wrong, the elders gave me vision. Keith sat down, very helpful, and said, this is what we look for. This is, you know, some goals to achieve. This is what we want you to do. You know, how you do it is up to you, which is great. They honored me, they trusted me. But I've lived a lifestyle of having all these things already laid out for me. So all of a sudden, I'm like, well, how do I do it? You know, then I'm dealing with guilt because I feel like I'm not using my time wisely and things aren't happening and why isn't that, you know, and all these things, this whole journey. And as I was kind of thinking about this, I just felt God say, this is how a lot of us approach our Christian walk with God. We don't have any vision for it. We don't have a structure. We don't have a plan. It's just, yeah, you know, one day I'm going to pray for someone, or, you know, I'm just going to pray for them one day, and or one day I might be this, or one day I might be that. You know, when I worked at City Plumbing, I always told myself, one day I won't, you know, I'm not going to be here forever. One day I'll do something else. And it was like a coping mechanism to enable me to get through the day. but I didn't do anything about it because I didn't have a vision. I didn't have anything to grab hold of. Nothing inspired my heart. Nothing grabbed me. So, you know, and I'm not saying City Plan was bad. It was very good for me in many ways. But anyway, that's my point. So to bring a vision to life, we need to have goals. Goals to achieve, things, markers, and then to make a goal happen, we need to have an action plan. What are we going to do? How are we going to make this goal come about? You know? So like, for instance, with House of Prayer, our goal, like if we have a goal that we want to start teaching everybody, we want to bring everybody into the culture of House of Prayer. We want everybody to have the freedom to feel free inside the structure in which we set. So that's our goal. So what's our plan? Our plan is that we're going to start teaching people and having interactive teaching sessions. We had one last Wednesday. That's great. But then what do we need to do? We need to put that into our everyday schedule. So we have 168 hours a week. That's not just going to happen because we say it. The schedule of our life brings life to our plan. Does that make sense? Am I making sense? Yeah, so we've been meeting together. We've been preparing, been praying to God. I don't know if this is a great analogy, but what I'm trying to say is that if we get a vision for God's word, if we knew what being in the word of God would do to us and how it would change us and how it would impact our life, all of a sudden, if we had a vision for that, then all of a sudden that would become a top priority in our life. And we would make time for it. We would have goals like, I don't know, I'm going to study the four Gospels by August. Okay, that's my goal. So I need to have an action plan. How am I going to do that? What does studying mean? What does it look like? And then to bring that action plan to life, I need to look at my schedule and I need to say, right, Friday night, I am going to have some God time. I'm going to have some study time. Gina and I have been doing this for 3 weeks. In the last 3 weeks, we've had more God time together than or equal to probably the first year of our marriage. That's the reality. I've actually practiced the guitar, practiced my instrument, which is a huge value to me. It's a huge value, but I never play it. I never practice. I'm not growing. Why? It's a passion of mine. I love worship, and I want to be able to express my worship to God through my instrument. I never practice it. I'm never going to reach that place if I don't practice my guitar. Never. It's not going to happen. I will never achieve that goal if I don't practice it. Yeah, so that's my point. Okay. Oh, all right. Are you guys all right? Can I continue for a little bit? Yeah. Okay. Acts 20, 32. Paul is teaching the elders in Ephesus. So he's been with them for 3 years, and he's been living with them, teaching them and everything. And this is one of the last things he says to them, okay? He says, now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. So what we've got, first thing we've got to realize is that Paul is speaking to mature Christians. He's not speaking to new believers as such. People he's been with for 3 years, okay? They're not brand new. What does he say? I just want to break this down really quick. I commit you to God. Fair enough. The thing I want to pull out is and to the word of his grace, to his word, which can build you up and give you an inheritance. Therefore, why should we stay in the word? Okay, the word has supernatural abilities under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. The word is able when it comes into contact with the human heart. It is able to build you up. It is able to empower you. It is able to awaken your heart. It is able to move you into your inheritance. What does inheritance speak of? You know, we have an earthly inheritance. We have an eternal inheritance. Inheritance is like the promises that God has given you, spoken over your life. Some of those aren't going to come about if you're not in his word, because you're not going to even know what they are, you know? How is it, this is funny, how is it, like, we read the words in the Bible, how is it that just by reading words in a book that they can change your heart and they can cause you to love the things you used to hate and hate the things you used to love. I don't love prayer. If you asked me 5 years ago, do you want to be involved in a house of prayer? I would have said no. I don't like prayer. It's boring. My experience of prayer in my Christian life is it's boring. You sit in a room and it's dull, it's quiet, it's awkward. A lot of people are too afraid to pray. A lot of people don't know what to pray. And you sit there and within 5 seconds, I'm thinking about something totally different. I'm not focused. I'm not engaged. How is it that God has got me wanting to pray, loving prayer, loving scripture? Gino and I have been singing through the Psalms at home. I mean, it's hilarious, but I love it. It's great fun. I love his scripture. It's alive in me. It's changing me. You know, through being in the Word of God, he has done a work in my heart that has enabled me to walk into whatever destiny, whatever he has for me through house of prayer. That's just one aspect. He's done that. How has that happened? I mean, what is the Bible? It's full of stories and ideas and commands and, I don't know, disciplines. And that's what it is. It's the written word. But when we read the Bible in dialogue with Jesus, it comes alive. And it has the power to change us. It has the power to build us up from the inside out. You know, it comes alive. It transforms us. Jesus is the living word, okay? It says that in scripture. Jesus is the living word. This is the written word. We need to encounter Jesus through this. We have the written word of God. We need to encounter the living word of God through the written word. That's what we need. And, you know, it says there's loads of scripture references. I won't go to all of them, but it says the word of God is like a seed, Luke 8:11. And then how the seed has everything. I mean, we've got this massive oak tree in our garden. It's awesome. And like Gina picked like an acorn up the other day, and she was like, what's this? I'm like, oh, it's one of the seeds, you know, it's one of the... And it's like, it's just incredible how from that seed, that tree can grow. But yet, that's what the Bible is. That's what it's referred to, you know. We need to be in the Word. If we had a vision for what the Word can do in our life, it would change us. If you're bored, if you're not passionate, if you can't encounter God in worship, if you're depressed, if you're lethargic, if life's tough, if it's boring... This is alive. This is the living word of God. It's the living word of God. What more do you need? It's alive. You count a Jesus in this book. It will change you from the inside out. You won't be the same. If you read his word for 5 months, you won't be the same in 5 months' time. You wouldn't be the same. But the problem is that we don't have a vision for his word. We're not focused. We're not disciplined. We're focused and disciplined in other areas of our life. That's great. But what about our walk with God? It will transform your emotions. It will awaken joy in your heart. It will transform you. Hebrews 4:12, the word of God is living and active. It's living and active. Get a vision for that. What does that mean? If you're dead... Encounter something that's alive. You know? It's not rocket science, guys. Inheritance speaks of promises. You know, if we want to walk into the promises that God has for us, if we want to walk into our inheritance, if we're too busy to read the Word of God, we're too busy to walk into the fullness of what God has for us. James 1:21, the Word is planted in you, which can save you. The word can save you. 1 Thessalonians 2:13, the word of God works effectively in you when you believe. And we all know the story of the sower. You know, the word of God is the seed. The soil is the human heart. What's the problem? One of the main problems is that we don't develop a root system. We don't develop our quiet time with God. We're not focused and disciplined. We don't develop in this area. I know I haven't. It's only been in the last year, 2 years maybe, where I've really grabbed hold of this, and it's still grabbing hold of it now, you know? One of the reasons we don't this is the parable of the sower. It's in the Gospels, Matt 13, Mark 4, Luke 8. Some of the things that can happen that can keep us, the deceitfulness of wealth. I thought about this. The deceitfulness of wealth doesn't mean you have to be rich to be deceived by wealth, because it's the deceiving part, isn't it? Doesn't mean you've got lots of money. It means you want lots of money. It's a deception. The desire for other things, it says in Mark 4. We desire other things, so we don't come to God's word. If we had a vision for God's word, if we had an understanding, if we had a revelation, we would desire it. Pleasures, other pleasures, it says in Luke 8:14. Our heart is like a garden. I'm sure you've heard that. The word is a seed. We need to embrace that word and cause it to grow. I'm speeding up. I'm almost done. Just a couple of other things. If you think of, you're a car, you're driving around, the word is the fuel that you put into the car. You're not going to go very far if you run out of fuel. You know, we need to get a vision. The body, the word is the food. If you don't eat, you get weak. You can't do what you're designed to do. You can't be who you're meant to be. We need the food. We need the fuel. We are created. We've been created by God, Creator God. We're created to work. We're created to create, to succeed, to grow, to develop, to produce. This is who we are. We're not created to sit still. It's not our identity. Our identity is who we are in Him. Okay, I'm not talking about that, but we can't, if we start getting our identity in what we do, it becomes a perversion, doesn't it? But we can't just throw out what we do either. You know, if you don't feel relevant, if you're not creating, if you're not passionate, you know, there is an answer. That's if you encounter Jesus, if you put time aside every day. It might be hard at the start if you're not used to it, but if you do it, it will change your life. It will change your emotions. You will get an excellence will grow in your relationships, in your ministry. An excellence will grow in every area of your life. You will it will change you so much. It will be awesome. Where do I go? Just to say, in Genesis 3:17-19, it's not work that is the curse. It's by the sweat of the brow and the resistance to work, which is the curse. We are created to work. We are created to achieve. We need to be doing these things as Christian people. And what do you think we're going to do in eternity? That's what I asked myself here. You know, what do you think we're going to be doing? Ephesians 5:14, Paul says, "Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Sleep, don't be passive, rise from the dead. That I think that's like spiritually dead. The other thing I thought about was, faith without deeds is dead. Shine on you. Christ wants to anoint you. He wants to empower you. Paul then goes on to say in verse 15, 16, 17, "Spend your time wisely." A lethargic believer will often, not always, but will often squander time as a lifestyle. You know, I want to be the best that God has for me. I don't want to be the best compared to Keith or the best compared to Dave or Gina. This isn't competition. I want to be the best God has for me, that He's given me. I want to walk in the fullness of the best that He has for me. We need to be setting routines in our lifestyle that will serve our destiny, not something else. Be aggressive. I've had to be really aggressive with my time management. If you don't do what you value, your destiny won't be happening. I could go in, there's a whole talk here on time management and on scheduling and stuff, and if I could go into all that, but really, what I'm trying to get across is that the Word of God is so powerful. It's so life-transforming. And it's not just reading the word. Just reading the word isn't enough, because that's what the Pharisees did. It's encountering Jesus in the word. That's what we need. And I just felt this burden, you know, like with the worship team, I've set out homework. And the homework was, go and spend time with God. Go and spend time with God. Get in his word, ask him questions, encounter him. Because we need to be a people that are in his word. We need to be a people that are growing and taking ground. And if you are down and if you're tired and if you're bored, check yourself. Are you in his word daily? Do you have a vision for his word? Are you studying his word? You know, check yourself. Are you? Do you have a plan next week? Is there anywhere in your diary next week that you are going to spend time with God? Is there any time in your diary tomorrow? If not, why not? Because there's time in your diary for other things. There's time in your diary to go to work. There's time in your diary to eat, to do all these other things which are essential. Well, so's this. And yeah, so I just encourage you just to catch it. If you catch it and let it grow in you, that vision. You know, God gives us a vision. He, like the prophetic, you know, when he shares something with us, it's to encourage us. It's to bring it to life. It's not to discourage us. So Father God, I just ask that you will, I just thank you for your word. I thank you, Father, that you've given us everything we need. God, you've given us everything we need. I ask that you will cause us to be awakened to your glorious word, the living word, Jesus Christ. Father, that we won't be lethargic, that we won't be passive, Father. God, that we will see the vision of who you want us to be, Father, and that you will give us that hunger. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. Very well. It's really good. So yeah, I think we'll just make that the end of the meeting. And there's coffees and teas out there. And thank you so much for coming. We'll be back here next week, same time, 10:30. And hopefully you guys will really take on board what Stu's been saying today. And yeah, bless you all. And have a good rest of the day. Yeah, there will be ministry team. There will be ministry team. If you'd like to receive prayer, there'll be some guys with the badge. All right. Bless you guys. Oh, yeah. And if you're in the room, you need to be quiet if people are praying and receiving. So please go out there and enjoy your day.